let's try that again. I think it might be feedback from the other one. Is that one off? Okay. Well, happy Halloween. Try that again. I don't know why I pulled that off. I thought it would make it better. Good morning, and welcome to Concordia United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Claire Douglas, and I'm so excited to be here with all of you this morning. And now that you're awake, I'm sure that you're excited to be here, too. I have a couple of announcements. One, the church council will be meeting very briefly following worship today to approve the draft budget. Let's meet in Fellowship Hall. Does that make sense to everyone? Yes? Where's Doug? Yep, that's good. Okay, meet in Fellowship Hall. We're going to make it very short because the stewardship meeting is also following worship today. Why don't we have them meet in the Memorial Lounge? Does that make sense? Yes? Yeah, okay. Everybody is in assent with that plan. The Live Courageously Commitment Sunday meal will be next Sunday, on Sunday, October 27th, following worship. Please sign up in the Fellowship Hall. That's actually what stewardship is planning today, is what delicious food you'll get to eat. So make sure to sign up for that so that you can join us for some yummy food. The last Live Courageously small group meeting will be on Thursday at 10:30 a.m. If you'd like to attend, please sign up on the easel on the Galena Street entrance. I have to say, I've now gotten to do 5 of these. And when I first decided I was going to do all of them, I was not super excited to come and talk to all of you about money. I wonder why. But it has been so cool getting to know all of you. It's so wonderful to talk to you about the wonderful things that our church does and that the greater church does. So I just want to thank each and every one of you who have come to one of these small groups and spent some time with me and learned a little bit about what we do as an organization and some of the cool things going on inside this church and way beyond this church. It's been really life-giving to me, so thank you. Confirmation will actually begin this week, I promise. And hopefully youth group too, we'll see. Depending on how Layla's doing. But confirmation will actually begin this week. And I think those are all of my announcements. I know that, Chuck, you have some information to tell us. Another person excited to talk about money.
That feedback is a great tool if the congregation starts to get a little bit drowsy. The Finance Committee asked me to speak to you this morning to provide a little bit of an update about the financial challenges that I spoke to you about in early September. Our situation has not changed much. I don't think we've lost ground, but I don't think we've gained too much ground either. We did have a small balance in our general checking account at the end of September. However, this positive balance is the result of not paying our apportionment to conference in July, August, and September. And we will not be paying in October. Concordia has a long history of paying our apportionment in full. We have a plaque of appreciation in the Galena Street entrance from the conference, recognizing our past history and meeting this obligation. To keep our unbroken record intact, we must pay this apportionment in full by the end of the year, the calendar year. So we're considering ways that we can ask for your help to meet this obligation, and I'm sure you'll hear more about that in the near future. After Stewardship Sunday, the Finance Committee will meet to look at our finalized 2020 budget, and we will probably once again update you as to how things are in this area. In closing, I remember Pastor Dave Hine speaking about stewardship many years ago. And he said, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is we have plenty of money. The bad news is it's still in our pockets. And I think there's food for thought there in addition to a little chuckle. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck, for that update. I laughed because it sounds exactly like my dad, and he was good friends with Dave Hine, so I wonder if they compared notes. Would you please stand and join us in singing 2236, Gather Us In.
Please join me in our praise on the screen above. God is with us always and calls us each by name. When we pass through difficulties and stress, God is with us and calls us by name. When we are discouraged and feel lost and alone, God is with us and calls us by name. Blessed be God who knows us and calls us by name. Amen. Let us pray together the words on the screen. Word of love and light, whenever we are afraid to show us the way, open our hearts to stay and remind us that you have marked us as people of courage Prepare us to strength in the presence of loving hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. Please join in singing My Life is in You, Lord, number 232 in the Black Hymnal.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a special moment. And actually, can I have our acolytes come forward too? Today, just the ones today. And bring your candelabras. They have an assignment. They didn't know that. All right. So who here in this church serves as an acolyte sometimes? Raise your hand. Yeah, I know a lot of you do, right? Okay. So when you're an acolyte, right, you stand in the back of the church, and we light these candelabras. And actually, that is their technical term. I went looking for it today. I thought there had to be something more interesting than candelighter, but there's not. That's it. Candelighter. So apparently there's no fancy Latin word, no fancy Greek word. It's literally candelighter. We light their candelighters in the back, right? And then they bring in the fire that they have, and they light these two candles, right? And then they go and sit down. And then at the end of the worship service, they take the candelighters, and they take the flames from the top of it, and they put the candles out, right, and then they walk back out. So here's the million-dollar question. Why? Anybody know? No? Congregation? No? Sharing the light? That's pretty close. Nice job. Yes. What? Yes. Bringing in the light of Christ. Yeah, so everything that we do in church has meaning to it. So what you're doing when you bring in the candles is that the light that you bring in represents the light of Christ. And so you're bringing God into the sanctuary, and these two candles tell us that God is among us in the sanctuary. And then at the end, you take God back out into the world, because God doesn't just stay in the sanctuary. God is with all of us all week, right? So you're bringing God in. We have God in front of us through the entire time and back out. So here's million-dollar question number two. Why two candles? Why not 16? Or 32? Or one? Because you'll notice that most churches have two, right? There's a very specific reason. Well, there's actually multiple reasons, but the reason that I was taught was that one candle represents when Jesus came during biblical times. So remember, during the Bible, Jesus was alive as a human being amongst us. And then the second candle represents that Jesus is going to come again in the future and be with us again. And so when we look at the two candles on the altar, we have one to represent the fact that Jesus was with us in the past, and one to represent that Jesus will be with us in the future. It can also represent, the United Methodist website tells me, this one I didn't know, but it tells me, it can represent that Jesus is both a human and a God. But I like past and future better. So that's the one that I'm going to use today. Kind of cool, huh? So it makes more sense, right? Why you would take it out at the beginning and back out at the end. God comes into the sanctuary and God goes back out with us, because God is always with us. And light often represents God. We even see that in the Bible a lot of times. You'll have to look through, see if you can find any examples. Can you think of any? No. There's a pillar of fire in Exodus. That would be pretty cool, huh? People are walking through the wilderness and a pillar of fire goes before them at night, like a giant tornado of fire, so they know where to go. Not kidding. It's in there. All right, well, let's pray. Repeat after me. Holy God,
thank you
for being with us.
Thank you for being with us in worship.
And thank you for being with us in the world.
Thank you for all of our acolytes
who serve you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you guys for coming up and learning a little bit more about being an acolyte and about our candles. Oh, we're going to do some singing, right? And by we're, I hope I'm not.
Anybody else want to be a bell ringer today? We lost a few.
Timothy chapter 6, verses 18 through 19. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life.
Our first scripture reading for today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 19. And actually, I switched it up on Layla afterwards a little bit. It's still Isaiah 43. It's 1 through 7 and 16 through 20. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not burn, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon, and I will break down all the bars. And the shouting of the Chaldeans will be turned to lamentation. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. The Lord add God's blessing to this, the reading of God's holy word. We've been talking for a couple weeks now about courage and how to live courageously. We talked 2 weeks ago about how defining our values helps us live courageously. We talked last week about how we can build on our past successes, and we're going to talk this week about how we can live courageously by living in the present. But I found this wonderful movie that was actually done by a magazine, a little clip on YouTube, and this is 70 different women from age 5 to age 75 telling us the bravest thing they've done in their life. So this is the bravest thing they've ever done, 70 women ages 5 to 75.
What is the bravest thing you've ever done?
Get us out at the doctor's.
I was brave when a bug got on my shirt. When my dresser fell down and I jumped to save my brother.
Ziplining. Going to sleepaway camp.
When I was 4, I punched a little boy in the face because he pushed around a little girl.
I went on a roller coaster.
Probably do a zip line across a huge lake at camp.
Defend someone.
Seen my grandma who has Alzheimer's.
Some guys were like making fun of my friends, so then I like went over them and told them they needed to stop.
Tell my parents that I want to pursue acting and singing as a career.
I went boulder climbing without any gear to conquer my fear of heights.
When I was in 8th grade, my friend was being bullied, and I stood up for her, and I confronted the bully.
I acted for the first time on stage when I was 10 in Fiddler on the Roof, and I had huge stage fright.
Getting on stage alone in front of a large group of people.
Committing to following through on my passions as an artist.
Getting out of a depression after losing my best friend.
Skydive.
I hate talking in front of people, so anytime I've given a speech, it feels like the bravest thing I've ever done.
Leaving an abusive relationship.
Open my heart.
Come out.
Paraglided off of a cliff.
Believe in myself.
I've done some bungee jumping and some skydiving.
One time in Jamaica, I jumped off a boat in the middle of the night into pitch black water.
Moved out on my own at 15 years old.
Stand-up comedy.
Leave my old career to pursue my dreams.
Traveling alone to Iceland.
Got to the other side of my parents' difficult divorce.
Moving cities and taking chances on jobs.
Quit my day job and follow my dreams.
I moved to New York City.
When I came out to my mother.
Telling someone that I had feelings for that I liked him.
Steal a dog that was being abused and mistreated, and we took it to the shelter and it got adopted 2 days later.
Walking away from a domestic violence situation.
I saw a bullying incident on a public street, and I got in between people just to try to block the person that was being bullied.
Standing up to my old boss.
Getting out of an abusive relationship.
Someone at my job was having a seizure, and I helped take care of them and helped put them to the side until rapid response came.
I left my great career to take care of my ill father in Korea.
Live my truth.
Stand up to my father.
I went on a zip line.
Have a second child after my first child was a NICU baby.
I went scuba diving in Iceland.
Give birth to my daughter, Nicole.
I was at a party and someone collapsed and I did CPR for about 20 minutes.
Selling everything and moving to New York 20 years ago.
This.
Apply to Princeton.
I'm very scared of heights. And I made it to the top of the Eiffel Tower with my husband. And then learning how to break dance after age 50.
Chemotherapy?
Got through a Category 5 hurricane.
Gotten divorced.
Greatest thing I ever done was going down to the morgue and identifying my son's body.
I paraglided in Jamaica when I was 22 years old.
I gave birth to 3 children. That was pretty brave.
Skydiving. Take my first musical improv class.
Switching from being an educator and having a full-time salary to no full-time salary and becoming a full-time student and going to law school.
I went horseback riding in Africa on a safari.
I told a girlfriend off once.
I was in high school and I have never swim, right? But I took swimming and I had to swim the whole laps. And that was the bravest thing I've done and I made it. I did it.
I'm afraid of heights, so skiing for 20 years with my children.
Faced cancer.
To visit a friend who was having a nervous breakdown and to try to help her overcome it.
Kept going. Taking on becoming principal of an adult education program. I think what's incredibly cool about that particular film is that they chose one person from each age. And there are some things that are so incredibly universal across the course of people's lives about bravery, and there are some things that change, and I think that that was one of the things that you can really see in that film. But bravery is really something that can be done at any age. I think one of the bravest things that anybody ever does is live their truth, and it's so incredible to see 70 different women choose to live theirs in a very, very public way. People live out courage slightly differently in their lives. The people in the short film we just watched displayed courage by facing their fears, surviving difficult life moments, and by reaching out to others. Their courage caused me to think about the most courageous thing I've done in my life. I kind of hope that you guys will go home and try to answer that question, too. It's harder than you think. And I think the bravest thing that I have ever done is to reinvent myself. Throughout my life, as I have moved from one stage to another, I have needed to readjust who I was and what I wanted out of life and how I saw myself. We all reinvent ourselves constantly. From an elementary student walking into a cafeteria for the first time at a new school, to a mother whose youngest daughter has just set off for her first year of college, leaving the mother as an empty nester. From a young groom on the day after his wedding to an older gentleman retiring from many successful years at a law firm, we as human beings are constantly reinventing ourselves. Every time we face a transition in our lives, we ask ourselves, who am I? Where do I belong? What makes me worthy? We sometimes like to believe that these kind of questions are reserved for those among us who are young, but the truth is that we are all always searching for our place in this world and its meaning. The Israelites in the book of Isaiah were in a time of massive transition that forced them to reinvent themselves as a people. The Israelites were not strangers to reinvention. After all, we see them in the Old Testament transform from a nomadic people to a thriving and glorious kingdom. But the book of Isaiah is written during a particularly difficult time in the history of the Israelite people. Israel to this day is located on a particularly desirable parcel of land in the Middle East. Located at the crossroads of Africa, Asia, and Europe, great civilizations repeatedly grew in the area surrounding the small country of Israel. One of these, the Assyrian Empire, took a chunk out of Israel, conquering it, and carrying its people into exile. leaving just a small outpost called Judah behind. Then an even larger and more powerful power, the Babylonian Empire, conquered the last piece of Israel. As was conventional wisdom in the ancient times, the Babylonians chose to prevent uprisings by forcing the Israelites to move from their homeland into exile in Babylon itself. So the Israelites found themselves living in a foreign country, away from their land, away from many of their friends and family, and away from the temple of the Lord. They quite fairly must have questioned whether they were abandoned by God, and whether being so far away from home, if their identities changed. It is into that confusion, frustration, and pain that God spoke to the Israelites through the prophet Isaiah and said, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who's called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and break down all the bars, and all the shoutings of the Chaldeans will be turned to lamentation. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus said the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a quick. Do not remember the former things, or consider things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to drink, give drink to my chosen people, the people who I formed myself, so that they might declare my praise." God spoke to the Israelites even in their time of hardship and devastation through his prophet Isaiah. Through God's prophet Isaiah, God sent the Israelites three important messages. First, God reminded the Israelites that during their time of confusion, that God knew who the Israelites were because God created them, called them by name, and loved them. Even in troubling times of transition and sadness and difficulty, even when the Israelites were no longer sure who they were without their temple or their country, God knew who they were, and God loved them as they were. I don't know if you've been noticing a theme of God loving God's people in the midst of adversity in these scripture passages, because as I was writing this one today and last night, I certainly have. And this is not because I set out to pick passages for this sermon series that revolve around God's steadfast love through times of difficulty. I think it's because God's steadfast love is so universally present in the Bible that it was almost impossible for me to avoid passages where God is telling God's people that God loves them and is with them through all kinds of trial. Anytime courage or bravery is necessary, God does not leave us alone to withstand challenges by ourselves. Instead, the God who created us, calls us by name, and loves us will not leave our side. Second, even though the Israelites were in the middle of their worst nightmare, God would not allow exile to be the end of their story. The scripture passage tells us that even when they passed through deep water, God would not allow them to drown. Even when they passed through fire, God would not allow them to be burnt. It tells us that God was already at work redeeming their pain and frustration and providing them with hope. Third, while it would be very tempting for them to look back on the Israel of the past and hold on to the way that things were, God tells them that they need to let go, that God was making things new. Things that were once a barrier for the Israelite people, like the Red Sea, would be parted, that God would make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God is calling us to constantly reinvent ourselves as people. Some things, like our core values and the successes of our past, never change. But if we're truly living courageously, we need to be unafraid of the moments in life when we are called to do a new thing. We need to be courageous enough to dwell not on the past, but to live boldly in the present. I mentioned earlier that the two candles on the altar represent Jesus coming in the past and Jesus coming in the future. And I love that symbolism because it keeps us grounded in our past and in our future. But the truth is that we live today in the middle of these two candles. And I believe one of the cardinal sins of the Church Universal is that too often the Church focuses either on the past or on the future. The Church either focuses on the wonderful glory days long gone by while spending time and energy wishing for things that cannot be recreated. Or the Church focuses too much on the future. It waits all of its actions on the mystical day when we will have enough time, enough energy, enough people, enough money. But you and I don't get to live in either of those wonderful times, the past or the future. We only get to live today, in the present, and we have the opportunity to make it wonderful. We can learn from the past, we can plan for the future, but today truly belongs to us. We as a church in this next season will need to be willing to look for ways to make paths through the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We're going to have to live boldly and courageously. We're going to have to define the things that are important to us. We're going to have to build upon our past successes, and we are going to need to imagine a new future with God. We will have to figure out, as a church, what our identity is through this transition. This kind of transformation is not easy, and it requires all of us committing to give to one another. It requires all of us to look at ourselves and ask, who are we? Where are we going? What do we have to offer? And what can I do today to get us there in this present that we have been given? But the good news is that in this, we are not alone. Because we know that our God is a God who is unafraid to do a new thing. That our God is a God who can make a way in the wilderness. And our God can make rivers in the desert to give God's chosen people everything they need. Amen and amen. Will you please join with me in singing number 2212, My Life Flows On.
wilderness and gives rivers in the desert. Let us give generously so that many may find the way of the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward?
Join me in the prayer printed on the screen above. Abundant God, you cause water to flow in desert places. In gratitude and awe, we ask you to see what you have brought in response. May these gifts be an offering for the sake of the world. We pray in your name.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite you to share any prayers that you may have this morning, and I have a couple. First of all, I'd like to pray for Aaron Peterson, Chris's brother, who has been having some severe nosebleeds.
Yeah.
And it looks like he needs to do some things to help care for this, and doesn't have insurance, so a little unclear how he's going to be able to do that, right? So the doctor cauterized it once, but unfortunately that did not solve the problem, so now it probably needs to be done again. And it sounds like he's going to go in tomorrow to try and see if they can fix it once and for all, right? So we pray for Aaron. We pray that the procedure tomorrow would go really well. We pray that he would heal quickly and that he would feel better. I'm sure that is extremely uncomfortable and really difficult for him. He's a quadriplegic, so he can't help himself. Yes. Thank you for letting us know. I also received news that David Eberhardt, Pat and Pam's brother, passed away this week. So we pray for them that they would know the strength of this wonderful community and the strength of God in their time of loss. God never leaves us. Isn't that what we heard in today's scripture reading, through the worst moments in our lives? What good news. Are there any other prayers this morning? Oh, Chuck has one. Oh. Yeah. Chuck wants to talk again later. Probably not during prayer time. Yes. Ooh. Brooke and I added things together. Bruce Cook, which together would say Brooke. Bruce Cook and Tom Andreas, this is why I walk around, are on the way to Detroit for a volunteer mission trip. We hope that they will be very successful and that they will help many people and they will arrive home safely. One of the wonderful ministries of this church.
I do have a joy, too. My wife, Barbara, is celebrating a decade's birthday. I'm not going to tell you which one it is, but she won't have to.
Should we sing? I'm kidding. We'll embarrass you more later. I know. Annie has a birthday, too. And Maria, birthday central. All the birthdays. Happy birthday to all. One of the churches that I grew up in, of many, used to say, God bless you and keep you another year through, when they would sing the happy birthday song instead of somebody's name. So, God bless you and keep you another year through. I think it's a beautiful expression. Are there any other prayers this morning? For our candle prayer today, I think that we should pray for those experiencing violence in Syria. It's been very much on the news this week, in particular that the Kurds are experiencing some pretty severe violence in Syria. So for all of those in Syria, we pray that they would remain safe. Would you take a moment to silently pray? Holy and loving God, you created each and every one of us. You have called us by name. You love us, and we are yours. You who care so deeply about each and every one of us, you will not leave us. You are already at work in our lives, redeeming the things that challenge us. We know this. We know that you have the ability to make things new, that you can make new ways in the wilderness and water in the desert. We pray that you will make us new this week, and that you will make those who we pray for new. Holy God, we pray especially for those with health concerns. We pray for Aaron Peterson, Joyce Gasser, Dean Gelb Fielding, Mike Scott, Dave Regala, Fred King, Kathy Howe, Amy Wiley, Virginia Moley, Gordon Davis, Matthew Wenzel, and Lisa Ayala. We pray particularly for those with cancer. We pray that they would be strengthened each day by God's presence. We pray particularly for Shirley Paul, and Sarah Pedre Osman. We pray particularly for those who are in long-term care facilities or are home confined. Just as the light passes out of the sanctuary at the end of this worship service, Lord, we know that you do not end at the doors to this sanctuary. We pray for Faye Rolstad, Janet Alm, Marilyn Gremmel, Marilyn Blackman, and Pat Ratzenberger. And Lord, we pray particularly for those who are grieving. We know that you always walk alongside us and that you send your family, the body of Christ, us, to comfort each other and to love each other in hours of grief. We pray particularly for the families of John Hostetter, Mary Ellen Brockman, and David Eberhardt. We all pray all this and more as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right.
May God guide you through the desert places. May Christ lead you into knowing him more deeply. And may we find the courage to live more presently. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Oh, I forgot about Chuck. I apologize, Chuck. You got to be written on my bulletin or it's not happening.
I need to have a quick postscript to my comments earlier. I'm remiss in not recognizing that after my previous talk to the congregation, we received a nice $1,000 unrestricted gift, most appreciated, and the gifter thought that this probably should be anonymous, so I won't mention Wallace Brecker's name in conjunction with it. Any others who might be so moved would be most welcome. Thank you. And thank you, Lila.
Thank you, Chuck. Let's sing. Let's sing, I'm Gonna Live So God Can Use Me, and acolytes, would you come forward and bring the light of God back out into the world?
Thank you.
Jesus.